Chapter 23. I faced a wall of humanity and metal. The forward wall of the monster was built like the front of a bulldozer. A curved plane rose and arched outward from the top. Cars, trees, rocks, dirt, animals, people. All came together to stack the wall 30 stories high. I could wait for it to bowl me over. Or run at it. So, I ran at it, the cleats of my boots biting at the cracked asphalt. I jumped, and I braced myself for impact, expecting to lose consciousness the moment I came into contact. I slammed hard into the curved wall, close to the left edge of the front. To my utter astonishment, I still had full control of my body. I grasped and held onto a car door as I pulled myself up, gasping from the impact. I dug my feet in, and they found purchase in something fleshy. I didn't dare look down. I climbed. Nothing tried to stop me, at least not yet. At any moment, I knew a hand would clench onto my leg or pull off my glove. I grasped onto anything I could, people, scraps of metal, the exposed ribs of a dog. I pulled myself higher and higher, hoping to find some sort of entrance. A machine gun rattled in the distance. I ventured a look over my shoulder and saw it came from the Hummer with the little girl. She fired off towards something unseen. I wouldn't be able to climb over the top of the scoop, so I went sideways, hoping it'd be easier along the flanks of the creature. I crawled and clutched, digging my shoes into whatever would stick. I came face to face more than once with a person ensnared, and their open eyes stared at me, registering nothing. Already, my arms and legs screamed in pain at the effort. My fanny pack kept sticking to the wall when it pressed against a person or anything organic. As I pulled away, it would come with me, but tiny hairs now protruded from the pocket of the bag, like roots searching for soil. I didn't know if that meant Clementine's plan was working or not, but I was still here, and I trudged on. Everything started moving at once, and I could do nothing but hold on as tightly as I could. My left hand clutched onto the belt of an upside-down man, and my right arm wrapped around the limp neck of a dog. What the... The whole thing reared up, spinning high up into the air like an upside-down tornado. Fuck me, it's changing shape. I swung and twisted as I clutched onto the monster. If I let go, I would be flung off and splattered somewhere on the other side of Tucson. I wasn't sure how high we'd risen. The fog got thicker the higher we went, like I had neared the top of Jack's beanstalk. I couldn't see the ground anymore. Splashes of blood and smoke erupted 10 feet below, followed by the distinctive, terrifying dinosaur roar of an A-10's cannon. A moment later, the plane rocketed out of the fog. It turned on its side as it whipped past, so close I could almost touch it, the roar of its engine so loud I was deaf for a few precious seconds afterwards. I screamed as a wave of heat washed over me. The grinder changed shape again, and I felt myself screaming more as I fell. I still clutched onto the dog's head, and wham! My left hand found a metal bar. I jerked to a stop, then let go, falling several feet and landing hard on a woman. I grasped her arm. Behind me, a distant explosion rippled through the air. Fuck, fuck, fuck! Couldn't they wait just 10 minutes? My gloved fingers started to slip, and I let go, sliding and bumping until I came to a stop. I was now on the back of the monster. The smoke and fog made it impossible to see more than 10 feet in front of me. It looked as if I'd fallen upon an arched plane that went on forever in every direction. The grinder's surface was black and crunchy. The charred flesh had turned to charcoal, and long lengths of metal crossed the back in a rib-like configuration, giving the impression of a string-wrapped ham that had been burned under a broiler. My foot became stuck, and I tripped, catching myself on a metal girder. The metal's consistency was unexpected, more elastic than metallic. This wasn't metal at all, but something organic. I let go, afraid to touch the metal again. I scrambled to my feet and moved as quickly as I could across the surface. The wind whipped at my dripping suit, and I could sense we moved swiftly. Ahead of me was a wall of thick, white fog. As it billowed toward me, I realized it was no fog. It was smoke. A strange sizzling and crackling sound, like water poured into hot oil, filled the electric air. Before I could figure out what that was, hell rained down. Out of the smoke, hundreds of bodies fell from above. They smashed into the back of the grinder like hail, many bouncing off and away, They crashed all around me. A woman fell right in front of me, writhing and screaming. I watched in horror as the skin of her face burned away like flames eating paper. All these people were part of a Hydra tentacle, I realized, and it had been destroyed. That smoke. White phosphorus. I choked at the thought. It's some seriously nasty stuff.
Ah, shit!
I turned from the billowing white cloud and ran as quickly as I dared. Swoosh! 100 feet above, a bright fireworks-like explosion punctuated through the haze, punching me in the chest with a concussion. From the explosion, dozens of flaming bright flares arced downward, crackling like an exposed electrical line, each trailing white smoke. I had nowhere to go. If that smoke touched me, I was fucked. I spun, looking for a way out. My mask might protect me from inhaling the deadly smoke, but I knew the particles would burn through the suit, exposing my flesh and killing me. Movement caught my peripheral vision through the mask. A group of half-burned men and women crawled across the surface. Just in front of them, one of the metallic, organic girders dilated open like a jagged mouth, and one after another, they slipped in. This is it. I grasped onto the strap of the duffel bag over my shoulder. I ran, and I jumped feet first into the hole just as the last of the drones crept through. The opening snapped shut over my head. I careened down like in a waterslide, rolling to a stop on an uneven surface that breathed up and down like I was on top of a giant lung. I jumped as a person crawled over me, skittering away like a spider. I smacked my head on something hard. What it was, I couldn't see. Complete, utter darkness encompassed me. I was inside. I pulled the duffel around my front, unzipped it, and felt for the flashlight. I pulled it out and flipped it on. If ever a vision of hell existed on this earth, this would be it. The flashlight illuminated the low cave, an interior artery ringed by the metallic girders, which I suspected were nerve bundles. The hallway was tall enough that I could sit up, but I couldn't stand. I stood on my knees, hunched over, and shined the light. The tube I'd come down was closed. I could only travel one of two ways, forward or backward. Dripping intestines hung like vines. Blood and fecal matter and whatever other fluid existed in the human body fell in a mist, collecting on the screen of the gas mask. I couldn't smell anything but the molded plastic of the mask, and I was glad for that. All around the conduit, the views moved and changed as bodies, packed tight, cycled around me, some spinning as if on a spit. The passageway itself seemed more or less static, though it waved like one of those playground rope bridges. A quick succession of explosions rocked the entire monster. Even though I was mere meters into the interior of the beast, the explosions sounded far away. The grinder reared up again, and the horizontal tube turned vertical in a matter of seconds. I grasped onto a thick nerve bundle to keep from plummeting. A rush of liquid sloshed over me, and I was thankful again for my dry suit. The monster crashed back down, and the passageway trembled like a plucked rubber band. The connection in my chest, the invisible tether from me to the grinder, still pulled, even though I was already in the belly of the monster. Why? I wondered. What did that mean? Shit. It's not the monster that's reeling me in. It's Niff.